Jesus. So we're going to welcome Ted in just a minute, but before that, I'd like to invite up Debbie Nauman, if I pronounced that right. She's the regional operator. She's in regional operations with the Operation Christmas Child. So Debbie, and then Debbie's going to bring Ted up when she's done. So please give a warm Alexander welcome.
I love volunteering with them. They put prayer at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of everything that we do. They're also very they are always finding new ways to leverage the power of these very simple shoebox gifts that people like you love to pack to multiply their effect and share the good news and great joy. Operation Christmas Child is a part of Samaritan's Purse. It's a non-denominational evangelical Christian organization that is headed by Franklin Graham. And our mission statement is to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to needy children around the world, together with the local church worldwide, share the good news of Jesus Christ. So since 1993, we've been sending these shoebox gifts around the world. So far, 135 million have been sent to over 157 countries. Many of those countries are countries you might not expect. They are dark countries, but we are reaching into those countries with the gospel through the local church. Our goal for shoeboxes this year in the United States is 9.5 million. Now you might think 135 million shoeboxes, why are we gonna really do any more? We've done so many. But there's still a great need. If you take just one country like India, that we have sent over 3 million shoeboxes to, they have like 5 times that number of children wanting shoeboxes right now. So the need is there. This organization is really run by a multitude of people around the world. We have 4,000 drop-offs, very similar to Living Waters in your town here, that will be collecting shoeboxes during National Collection Week, which is November 14th to 21st. From there, we have 8 processing centers around the country that will have 100,000 volunteers getting those boxes ready to be shipped around the world. All of those places are supported by 10,000 year-round volunteers like myself. And this is mirrored in all these 157 countries by local teams there, where volunteers and ministry partners are trained to set up outreach events. A couple of years ago, I was privileged to go with Operation Christmas Child to the Philippines and see several outreach events. So Some of these pictures are from my trip, and they illustrate the power of a simple shoebox gift. At every outreach event, the shoeboxes are distributed. There's always a gospel presentation. There's skits and songs, and the children are left with their very own copy of the greatest gift, which is in their local language. You see this little girl here? She's gone through the shoebox. She's back on her chair looking through the greatest gift. She wants to learn more about Jesus, and they will bring those books home and share them with many people. The other two children just express hope and joy. Mary Beth is giddy with excitement. I watched her open up that shoebox, and she could hardly contain her joy because at the very top there was a picture of the people that had packed her box. She just could not believe that somebody loved her enough to pack a box. These shoeboxes are also keys to open doors in communities, allowing the local church to reach out to those that have been unreached. Pastors invite children and their parents to a special event at the church, and congregations are growing, and churches are being planted as a result of the shoeboxes. The bottom picture is a church that typically had six children on a Sunday morning. The pastor knew he was getting shoeboxes, and he went out and asked the local children to come with their parents to a special event in their church. They didn't really know what it was going to be, but they all wanted to be there. The church was overflowing. The parents were listening through the windows. Everyone heard the gospel, and the pastor at the end of that outreach event believed that there would be two church plants as a result of that. So from one church, we were getting three as a result of the shoebox distribution. These shoeboxes are also the first step in creating disciples. After the shoebox comes the greatest journey. It's a 12-week discipleship program that teaches about Jesus being God's greatest gift to us, how to be a Christian or walk with God, and most importantly, how to share with others about Jesus Christ. Our goal is that every child who receives a shoebox gift will have an opportunity to participate in this program. This coming year, we expect 3.4 million children will be discipled. We expect that number to rise to 5 million in 2017. After the 12 weeks, there's a graduation celebration. Very exciting time. These kids are so excited, and they usually do dress up in togas or hats and gowns or their Sunday school best. They sing songs, they recite scripture that they memorize, and then they're handed a certificate and a New Testament Bible with Old Testament stories in their own language, perhaps the only Bible that they've ever had in their home. This is an effective program. It multiplies the power of the shoebox gift then to continue spreading the gospel and God's love with all these little disciples walking up over those cities. This year, there were 1,278,323 professions of faith. If you divide that by 365 days, you get an average of 3,502 children who have accepted Christ every day through the greatest journey. That translates to 146 children per hour, or 2.4 children per minute, are accepting Christ as their Savior through the greatest journey that comes after the shoebox is packed. It's a powerful testimony to the effectiveness of a simple shoebox gift, but really there's nothing more special or encouraging than hearing from a shoebox recipient. We're very privileged to have Ted Foreman here today, and that he's willing to share the impact on his life of receiving a shoebox.
It's fun to see so many people here, and just know that you guys have a heart for doing God's work and in whatever ways He's called you. So I'm excited to share with you about Operation Christmas Child and just the impact you made on my life and how God used a simple shoebox to bring me to a place where I am today. So in 1990, I was born in Russia, and at that time, Russia was a very a broken country. There was a lot of socialism had fallen. There was a lot of poverty, a lot of brokenness, a lot of depression. And my birth parents were alcoholics. And so at the age of three, me and two of my sisters, Tanya and Clava, who were 2 and 4 at the time, 2 and 5 at the time, we were all placed into the orphanage system because our parents couldn't take care of us. And in Russia, that's just what happened to those kids. They just got put into these mass orphanages. And the orphanage life was a very challenging life. There were hundreds of kids who were in the exact same position as us, without parents, without love, without hope. And as you can imagine, it was very difficult to connect with those kids because they were also just as broken, and so forming friendships that were meaningful was almost impossible. And I remember growing up, I faced a lot of difficulties like bullying from different kids, and just the conditions that we lived in. We'd be put into rooms of about 20 kids sometimes, and we'd have to share everything. Like, the clothes that we had was not ours. It was the orphanage's, and we would share a towel with 20 other kids. You know, we didn't have very many hygiene items. We didn't have toys to play with. We didn't celebrate too many holidays. It was a very difficult life, and, you know, you just went through a daily routine. You went to class, and, you know, it just kind of went through the motions, and I was always very broken. And in the midst of all the struggles that I faced, the hardest thing for me was the fact that I didn't have somebody who loved me. I didn't have somebody who cared for me. I didn't have somebody who would call me their own. I just felt like I just existed. And at a very early age, I would try to begin the search for some kind of hope, some kind of meaning, something to give me fulfillment. And, you know, I would look in all the wrong places. You know, I tried smoking at a very early age and started trying to drink early age. And, you know, I would break the rules at the orphanage or try to get other people's attention. And all those things, they would just fall short. They wouldn't give me any kind of hope. In fact, it would make me more hopeless. And I even tried the Orthodox Church in Russia, which at that time was very influenced by the government. And so, not once did I hear about Jesus. All I heard was, hey, here's a bunch of rules. You need to follow these rules to a T, and then maybe you'll be good enough to go to heaven. But if you sin and you don't confess that you sin, you're going to go to hell. And I remember thinking, wow, I can't keep any of these rules. That's impossible. Maybe this is just a man-made religion that's just about good doing in a society. I'm going to look elsewhere. So by the time I was 9 years old, I was hopeless. I was depressed. I didn't actually care if I was living every day. But you see, there is a sovereign God that was watching over me. When I was 9 years old, I remember I had gotten sent to a doctor's appointment to get my eyes checked out. And as I returned back to the orphanage that day, it was April of 1999. I remember coming back to the orphanage, and as I walked through the doors, I remember something very different. I heard kids laughing, and I heard joyful noise, and I heard excitement, and I was like, wow, what is going on? And at first, I'm like, oh, maybe there's a fight that broke out. I gotta go check this out. And as I walk closer, I'm like, no, this is not. I mean, these are joyful words. This is so different. And I just was so curious, you know, and I walked quickly to my classroom, and as I opened the door, here were all the children sitting there, and in front of them was a colorful shoebox. These weren't just shoeboxes. These were special gifts. And I remember I looked at my desk, and there was a shoebox just sitting there waiting for me to open it. And the teacher said, go ahead and open it. It's a gift for you from some Americans. And I sat down at my desk, and I realized that there is somebody out there. There's somebody out there that cares for me. I had never received a gift in my life. And here I was sitting, and I opened this gift, and it just was filled with so many wonderful things. It just made me think that maybe there is a God that loves me. Maybe there is hope. Maybe there is something better in this life that I haven't experienced yet. And I remember as I was looking through the things in my shoebox, man, they were just so many awesome things. Three of my favorite things were I got SpongeBob toothpaste. Bubblegum flavor, and I ate the entire thing. Came out real good. I also remember I got a notebook in my shoebox, and in the orphanage, the school would provide us with school supplies, but we could only use it during class time. And so, unless you wanted to steal a piece of paper or something out of your school notebook, you didn't have any actual personal paper or a notebook to write in or draw in. And so when I got a notebook, it was very special for me, as I was able to later send little notes to my sisters, and I was able to draw in and just have my own personal notebook that wasn't the orphanage's. And my absolute favorite gift in that shoebox was a washcloth. I remember as I pulled this washcloth out, I was so excited because this was like my own personal towel. And I was like, man, I don't have to share a towel with 20 kids anymore. This is my own towel. And it meant so much to me at that time. And I remember just that day, there was just so many emotions that filled my heart. You know, it was just like, wow, there is hope. There is somebody that loves me. Now, because I came late, I didn't get to hear the gospel presentation, so I did not get to hear about Jesus. But you see, what God did is he used that shoebox to plant the seed of hope in my heart. And in the next 4 years, God would do some amazing things. My sister Tanya also received the shoebox. She was actually praying for her family. And meanwhile, I got moved to a different orphanage, ended up facing a lot of different challenges, because when you move to a whole new orphanage, you gotta kind of go through the process of, you know, kind of the hierarchy to the, you know, that's kind of how the bullying works. You just kind of go through a process. So you face a lot of abuse and a lot of, you know, just bullying. And I went through a lot of difficult times. And in the midst of those times, I would always think to myself, there is hope. There is somebody that loves me. It's okay. Someday I'll figure out what this hope is. And it would just resonate in my heart. Things got pretty bad, and at one point I was actually put into a psych ward where it was a very hopeless place, where they would send kids that had maybe some mental ill, you know, maybe a slight mental illness, but a lot of it was just because of the psychological brokenness, and they had no idea how to deal with those kids, and so they would just shove me into these psych wards where it was just not the right fit for kids like, you know, like me and kids like other kids that were there. And it felt basically like a prison. You know, there were bars on windows, very little food, you know, very little to do. They would drug you up every day. But even in the midst of that time, I would always look outside the window and I'd tell myself, there's hope. I will find this guy that loves me one day. And sure enough, my little sister, Clava, got chosen to go on a program and come to the United States and stay with the family. That family decided to adopt her. And so they approached the adoption agency and they said, hey, we love Clava, we want to adopt her, what's the next step? And the agency goes, well, Clava has a bonus package, a brother and a sister. You need to adopt all three. And they're almost all teenagers. Good luck. And my parents were like, whoa. They say, what? And they went home and they prayed about it. And God made it very clear to them that they were supposed to adopt all three of us. So here I am on a psych ward, and these two Americans come to visit me. And they tell me that they love me, that they want to make me their son, they want to adopt me. And in my heart, I was thinking, oh my goodness, this God that I think about has to be real. This hope that I felt, there is something significantly bigger behind it than I even know right now. And, you know, kind of fast forward things, the adoption process took a little while, and all three of us, me and two of my sisters, came to America. And we had a family, we had a mom and a dad that loved us. I had everything I could imagine. I mean, it was sensory overload. I had, like, washcloths that I couldn't even use because there was decorations. You know, I had 15 cereal choices. I had food for days, you know. I mean, it was like, wow, this is awesome. And I had a mom and a dad that loved me, and I had an extra brother and an extra sister, and it was just something I'd never experienced before. And I was just so overwhelmed and so thankful. But even in the midst of this overwhelming joy, I felt like I just want to know the source of this joy, the source of this hope that I felt since the day I received that shoebox. And, you know, I didn't really know how to ask my parents about it, but I knew that they believed in a God because they would pray obviously around us. And so I knew that maybe I could ask them, and maybe they would know something I don't know, you know. And so one day, my dad worked, he had his own little business, and he worked out of the office in the basement. And I went down there and I said, you know, I just started having a conversation using a translating app on a computer, because I didn't speak very good English, neither did he speak Russian. And so he would type something up in English and it would translate to Russian and vice versa. And so we would have our little conversations. And one day he kind of just, you know, we're talking and he asked me, Ted, now that you're an American, you have a family that loves you, you have all this stuff, are you happy? Are you satisfied? And I thought to myself, well, of course, what kind of question is this? But then, you know, in my heart, I was like, I just want to know if there's something more. And so I just kind of straight up asked him. I said, isn't there something more? Am I missing something? And that's when my dad began to share with me that there is a God that loves us. There is a God that's made this earth, that's made all that's in it for our enjoyment, for us to enjoy it in a relationship with him. And he wants nothing but the best for us. But there is a problem. There's this thing called sin. And he went and told me a couple of examples of sin, and I was like, oh, this sounds familiar. And I was a little bit like, okay, well, where are you going with this? This isn't what I'm looking for, you know? But he didn't stop there. He kept sharing with me. He said, but you see, there's God loved us so much, and he cares about us, and he knows that we've messed up, but he loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to come to this earth and to die on a cross, to take our sins upon himself and pay for the punishment that we deserve, so that we could be made whole and that we could be able to have a relationship with God. And all we have to do is receive this gift, because what Jesus did on the cross was a gift. And as he was using that analogy of a gift, it suddenly clicked for me. I was like, wow. And it just reminded me of the day that I received my shoebox and the hope that I felt. And I realized that moment that the hope that I've been holding on to, the hope that I was feeling, was just a glimpse of the hope that I would have for the rest of my life in Jesus. because of what he did for me on the cross. You see that simple shoebox. God used it to plant the seed. God cultivated that seed and he watered it, and he had a perfect plan for it. And I believe that every single shoebox that we send out in the name of Jesus is being used to reach children with love, with hope, and most of all with the love of Jesus Christ and with the hope that they can have in him. And that's why I get excited about packing shoeboxes and seeing people like you that get excited about packing shoeboxes. And you know what's really cool is that's not where my story ends. God decided that he would give me an opportunity to see even more of his awesomeness. And so, you know, after I received Christ into my life and after he began to make some cool changes in my heart, one of the things that was always on my heart is to share my faith and my experience and share about Jesus and share about what he has done for them on the cross. Problem was, I was homeschooled and I was kind of sheltered. I didn't speak super good English, and so I was like, hey, God, like, how am I supposed to share, you know, share my faith? And I would go into my homeschool co-op and be like, hey, Jesus loves you. And they'd be like, yay! I want to really share my faith, you know? And that year, I remember coming downstairs, and my mom, who was a homeschooler, so she was wearing this OCC t-shirt, because it was about the OCC season starting up, it was in the fall, and I remember seeing the logo on the shirt, and I went, wait a minute. And my sisters and I looked at each other, we looked at the logo, and we're like, you know, we quickly grabbed an open, and we started drying, you know, like, well, isn't this the same? That looks like the same logo that was in our shoeboxes. You think these people sent those boxes to our orphanage? And we're like, whoa, this is so real. Like, you know, like, we get, you know, we got super excited, so we're just rambling and rushing. We're trying to tell my parents, like, hey, we received shoeboxes with the exact same logo. There's no way you guys sent all those boxes, did you? And like, it took a few minutes before my parents realized what we were trying to tell them. And all of a sudden, they get that, oh my goodness, our kids received shoeboxes. And now both my parents are just crying, you know, like, why are you crying? This isn't bad. This is good news. And they're like, no, you have no idea. We've been packing these boxes since the mid-90s. And little did we know that our very children would have been impacted by this gift. And it was just so cool. I realized that day that I could pack shoeboxes. You know, I had like 67 bucks saved up in a mason jar from vacuuming up like June bugs and Asian beetles from my aunt's attic. And I was an entrepreneur, you know? And so I was like, hey. I was like, Mom, let's go to Walmart. I want to spend my money on packing shoeboxes. And man, I got a little carried away. I'm pretty sure the 67 bucks didn't cover it all, but we packed some sweet shoeboxes that year. And I realized that that was my opportunity. That was my chance to share the love of Jesus and to give these children an opportunity to know that Jesus loves them and to give them a hope that I know that all these broken children need. There's children out there that have no idea that there's a God that loves them. And that's why we packed these shoeboxes, so that they can share with us what we have. That's the power of these shoeboxes. So a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to actually travel with Operation Christmas Child to do a shoebox distribution. And I just want to share a couple stories because I think it's just so cool, the power of these shoeboxes. So Nicole actually went on this trip with me. It was a lot of fun. We went to Panama. And we traveled down there. And I remember our very first distribution day. We were down there. And towards the evening, we were all getting kind of exhausted. But you can imagine just being able to hand out shoeboxes to children that have never heard the gospel, that have never heard about Christ. It was just so fun, you know. I mean, the day was just so full of emotions and just, you know, especially for me because I remember just being on the other side of that box, you know, and so many years ago, and it was just so powerful to see how God was just working, how he was, you know, bringing these children to life because they were experiencing his love. They were hearing about Jesus for the very first time. And I remember towards the evening, we were all kind of getting lethargic because we didn't have our coffee that day, but we were still, you know, pretty chipper. And I remember we were giving out shoeboxes, and it was like an old rundown school building, and we had given out all kinds of shoeboxes to all the children. And towards the end, one of the moms came up to somebody in our team and said, hey, one of my twin daughters doesn't have a shoebox. Is there something you guys can do about it? And I remember, for whatever reason, we didn't have another shoebox for this other girl, and we kind of, you know, we looked and we just couldn't find a box, and, you know, all of us were kind of, you know, a little bit down about it, and I remember just thinking, I'm sure God will do something, like, and so were the others probably thinking that, and all of a sudden, you know, the two twins opened their one box, and you would never believe what was inside that one box. there was two of everything.
Wow.
And good job. I remember, I mean, it just blew us away. It was like, wow, our God that did miracles in the Old Testament and New Testament is the same God that is doing miracles here in our time. A God who cares so deeply about people and individuals that he's willing to take a shoebox and inspire somebody to put through everything in there. Inspire the people at the Protestant Center to not separate it. Inspire that shoebox to end up on a certain container, going to that one island, to one church, to the two twins, because he cares. And he has a plan for every single shoebox. And that blows my mind. And that is awesome. One more story I want to share with you before I give the mic back to Debbie. Towards the end of our, we kind of stayed on this one island. It was called Corazon de Jesus, and we got to know some children, and some of the gals and I took them throughout, you know, their own shoeboxes, and they wanted to give them away, and, you know, not every single child is always able to get a shoebox, and so I guess we had met this little boy from the village, and we decided that we were going to bring a shoebox, and, you know, to his hut where he was staying, and maybe, you know, share the gospel with his family, and we weren't really sure what to expect, how many people were going to be there, and we were actually supposed to be having a debrief meeting that day, and I think we went rogue, and we decided, me and Nicole and a couple of people, and we kind of went rogue and decided to find his hut and just see his family, and just because we were pretty excited about, you know, what God might do, and so we bring the shoebox, and I remember we were in this little hut, and we, you know, we were sharing, and the fun part about this is it wasn't just the boy and his parents. There were, like, uncles and cousins and grandparents that were very, very seasoned, very much lived a full life. And I remember, they caught my eye, and I was like, wow, like, this is cool that there is such a generation difference here. And I remember, as we were, you know, we given the shoebox, there was a little boy, and we explained to them why we were giving these shoeboxes, and our translator went through the gospel cube, which is a kind of a visual to explain what, you know, what God has done for us and what Jesus has done for us. And it's a very simple way to make it plain and clear to them. And as the night went on, you could see these old men going from being very kind of, you know, almost blank faced to their eyes lit up and tears streamed down their faces. And as the gospel was presented, they placed their trust in Jesus Christ. See, these shoeboxes are not just reaching children. They are reaching peoples of all kinds. Because God has a plan, and God wants to reach as many people with his love because he cares about them. These shoeboxes are powerful. So thank you so much for backing shoeboxes, for being passionate. And you know what's really cool is there's tons of other ways you can get involved with Operation Christmas Child. There may be year-round volunteer opportunities that God's calling you right now to do. I mean, Ephesians talks about how we've been saved by grace, but it also talks about how God's prepared good works for us to do. Maybe there is something that you haven't done yet that God's put on your heart. Maybe there's one more step you can take to be more involved with Operation Christmas Child, to allow more children to experience the love of Jesus. So I'm going to pass the microphone back to Debbie, and she's going to give you some options as to how you can get involved more than just packaging boxes. So here's Debbie.
Serve with Operation Christmas Child and be a part of that. So I just want to point out to you some ways that you can be involved with Operation Christmas Child. And of course, the very first way is just to pack a shoebox. Today we have a few of the red and green bowl boxes. If you would like to take one or two home with you to pack, that would be great. They're right up by the door. The other option is to pack shoeboxes with your church. Introduce it to your small group. Introduce it to your prayer group, your business, your school. But just whatever you heard today, we'd like for it to be multiplied and for you to carry it on to other people and let them know about this opportunity to be a part of God's Great Commission. If you don't like shopping, We do have an option for you. It's called BASBO, or Build a Shoebox Online. You literally go online and pick out items, and then it's shipped directly from Boone, North Carolina to different countries. And I have cards and materials for you on the table for all of these things. The other way that could be helpful to be involved with Operation Christmas Child, if you don't like shopping and packing boxes, is just a donation for shipping. Every box, we have asked for a suggested donation of $7, which is quite a bargain. But if you were interested in that, you could make checks out to Samaritan's Purse. We also, The Greatest Journey, we are trying to get our numbers up to 5 million children per year. And part of that is it's $6 per child to disciple them. So we have a continuing gift program where you can, $6 every month. In 1 year, you can create 12 disciples. So I've got cards on that also. And Prayer Network Partner, I said prayer is, you know, the very central part of this ministry. We have monthly prayer updates where you hear stories like Ted's story about the twins, you know, big spiritual impact story every month. And then special requests from our ministry partners in the countries, what it is that they're looking for. So you could get on that mailing list and can sign up there or take a card with you. And then the other option is year-round volunteering. You can come on the team here in Alexandria. And I've got some information about that here, but I'm also going to be at the Common Ground this afternoon and would love to talk with anybody that could take the time to come visit with me there between 2:30 and 4. And then again, just a reminder that tonight we'll be at Living Waters presenting again also at 5:30 if anybody wasn't able to come, or you want to share, bring somebody to food there. Yes, in a shoebox, and I have a sticker that says what goes in. The big thing is we want them to be a good size. We don't want big boot boxes. They're hard to ship, and you know, we just need a regular size shoebox. You can fit everything in there. We're looking for hygiene items. Obviously, I put a washcloth in every one of my boxes. I do now. Toothbrushes, soap, combs, you know, hair things. We're looking for school supplies. I put a notebook in almost all of my shoeboxes also. Pencils with sharpeners. Pencils are a big deal. Crayons, art supplies, any of those things. And then we are looking for a big wow item, something that's really going to delight the child. They might just be delighted in the picture you put in there, but just make the box full but not bulging. So yo-yos, slinkies, jump ropes, just fun things. Whatever God lays on your heart. But really the most important thing to put in that shoebox is prayer, that it goes to the right child, and that that child receives Jesus Christ, and that that child shares that good news that they have in their heart with somebody else. A letter and a picture is a great thing to put in the shoebox, and then the $7 shipping.
Any other questions?